Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'll first speak to Councilman Gebhardt's comments. This, again, is just strictly a request to use that particular state plan as a guide moving forward. It's not to say that we need to mirror it verbatim or inclusive of all of the do's and don'ts in their plan. What they have is something significantly different than what we have. And the goal behind this resolution is to encourage our bargaining groups, as well as the administration, current administration, current bargaining groups, future, et cetera, to work towards these goals of reducing the financial burden on the taxpayers for the cost of healthcare, both to active employees and retirees. There's nothing contained in here that directs any specific changes other than trying to accomplish those goals to lower the tax burden. The first amendment that Councilman Ricks made was simply a word added in line 27 just to have consistency with the title. The other two items of the whereas clauses, the first whereas clause, while there's a lot of language in there, basically all it's doing is just stating the positions that have been stated before this city council in the past by our actuaries. There's no substance of direction to anyone in making any particular changes. It's simply reiterating what was said before. The second whereas, and he, Councilman Ricks mentioned it to me, that on line 30, it was in fact, and I take the responsibility for this because I did proofread this, and this did not set in my mind the same way as he explained it. So on line 30, it starts with healthcare coverage. And then it says, or for new hires to either eliminate eligibility entirely or requiring co-share. That was not my intent. My intent was not to eliminate healthcare for new hires. That line in its current form, it seems in reassessing it, that's what it says. That's not the intent. There is no intent whatsoever to eliminate healthcare for new hires. So I did feel that it was imperative and agreed with Councilman Ricks on making the amendment to that. Now, having said that, I certainly, and by the way, I had concurred with Councilman Ricks on these language amendments that he made, just to be perfectly upfront with all of you. And this is something that was actually finally discussed today. The intent of this, and I do believe that we all agree that the time has come to take a position on this. We've gone decades, not days, we've gone decades and decades without having any changes in those healthcare contributions and the caps and the co-pays and the free healthcare. There needs to be a change because it's not affordable. We're not demanding it. We're requesting that they use this as a guide. Having said that, I don't want to be throwing out the baby with the bathwater or vice versa, however that saying goes. So I would agree with the change to that verbiage, adding in the word plan at line 27. I think it's also important to clarify the language that is not going to eliminate healthcare for new hires, but that is going to work towards a copay for retiree, for new hires when they retire, as such. So if this is like this big issue and you're ready to just scrap the whole plan, I have no problem, and I'm not speaking for Councilman Ricks, but my thought here is I have no problem with considering something else. Clarify the language on that one line to make it crystal clear that we're not looking to eliminate healthcare for new hires. So that's where I am.
Okay. Any questions or comments from the public?
Thank you. Earl Simpson, I'm not sure where we are with Councilman Rick's changes on stuff, but I thought there might have been like a typo in here in the whereas clause that starts on line 26. On line 30, there's an or before that last clause. And it seems to me like you're saying you can make savings by doing this, this, or this, and it seems to me that that or that's on line 30, healthcare coverage, semicolon, or, and this is where we're changing things on the new hire, that shouldn't be an or, that you can save money by doing this, the first clause before the colon, this, this. It just seems to be strange that you'd have that or clause there, but I'm not sure where we are with your amendments on stuff, because I don't have a copy of that. So,
yeah, I'm sorry about that. We weren't able to circulate a copy in advance, especially with the Open Meetings Act as it is, it would have to be posted by the end of the day Thursday, and we didn't have this fully drafted, the amendments, by the end of the day Thursday. But to specifically address that, or at that second to last semicolon there, that is one of those items that I addressed in the amendments by switching it to and slash or.
Okay.
Okay. Barbara Walsh, Ward 2. I have been sending you emails about this since Councilman Lattiser originally put it in the old version, and I'm really happy to see this coming forward again as a resolution. I know you guys aren't negotiating anything, but you approve what has been negotiated, and so when you signal up front, there are certain practices that for the next set of contracts you might not approve. I think that's really laudable and setting a tone for what the city is willing to pay for. I don't understand at all why we can't change what new employees who haven't been hired yet will get at retirement. I think that should be changed now. And I also don't understand why the city of Warwick pays far more generously in their health benefits to retirees than the state employees get. And state employees, they get very generous benefits. I'm a proud retired state employee. Our benefits are, I don't want to say, they're not excessive, but they're really good. And Warwick's is better. And there's no reason for that. Warwick should be kind of like in a reasonable range, not making taxpayers who don't get the same benefits pay for what, in my view, is excessive benefits. Even the state changed some retiree benefits going back to the COLAs. And everybody said that couldn't be done. Well, it was done, and it should have been done. It was the right thing to do. And it happened. It can happen here, too. There is no chance ever that Warwick employees won't get reasonable benefits. There is no chance that new hires won't get medical benefits that are quite generous and good benefits. That will never happen. They will always be well paid, and they will always get good benefits. And there's no doubt in my mind that no executive and no council would put into effect what those tenants in a contract would be, and that you would then ratify them. I think things just should be reasonable. And when I look around at people who are not working for government, either at the city or state level, they're not getting any of these things. And yet we expect them to pay for them. And I don't think that's fair, and I don't think it's reasonable. And I was really happy to give up my COLA because it was the right thing to do. And some people who get these benefits do feel that way and try to think in a more fair way about what other people are expected to pay for. So I would ask that you continue with this effort, and the contracts are set for another few years. If you are all sitting here in 3-4 years, when the next contracts come up, I ask that you remember all this, you remember this resolution, and if things don't happen, don't ratify. You've got the big stick. Use it. Thank you.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. Just an observation, Mr. McAllister. Often is the time that I've heard you chastise members of the general public if they're having a side conversation. But that goes both ways. This lovely young woman just came up here and spoke. And you didn't hear a word she said. You had a side conversation.
Do you have anything on this comment?
Yeah, I do.
Do you have PCO 12-22?
This is specific to it, and you should pay attention, because what you did is rude. There's an old saying, if you make an eye contact, we can tell you're paying attention. What you just did was rude, and I suggest that you review.
I don't have anything to say on PCO 12-22. You can move
I
on.
I do.
Sir. PCO 12-22.
Follow the rules that you set up, because what you did
sir.
Was ignorant.
Excuse me,
now
sir.
I'm going to say what I have to say.
Excuse me, sir. One person speaks at a time. You will speak on 12-22.
She was speaking, and you weren't listening because you were having a side conversation. Is it different rules for you than it is for us?
Would you have
evidently.
Anything on 12-22?
I made my point. I've come here for years when we've talked about making changes to the unsustainable healthcare system that we have. And I've heard many city council members make the statement, we can't change it because we made these promises. I didn't make any promises. The taxpayer doesn't have a seat at the table during negotiations. The taxpayer has no seat at the table when reviewing the tentative agreements. You people made these promises, not us. The only role we play is in the funding formula. So we've never been able to have a seat at the table to say, these are unsustainable. All we do is pay the bill. And the problem is that during these negotiations, there's favoritism that you can clearly see when you look at campaign donations through the on the Board of Elections. And it's sad because you're talking about making changes to new employees. So maybe 30 years from now, we'll start to see some minor savings. We didn't make any promises. You people made the promises, and the administration made the promises that we can no longer afford. It's time to make some changes.
Robert Cushman, Ward 1. Just something to ponder. The day an active employee retires in Warwick, their health care copay goes to zero. That means the active employees actually pay more than someone who retires. So the day they retire, their health care is free. So that's one of the reasons why when you look at the school department, I think Councilman Lasso referred to it, it costs about $11-12 million for health care in the city of Warwick on the city side. On the school side, it's $500,000. I was on the school committee. I was on the council, so I know this stuff. And the reason why is, on the school department, when they turn 65, they go on Medicare. They're totally off the system. In the city of Warwick, we pay the full cost of their Medicare. Not only that, as we pay for a supplemental plan. So anything that Medicare doesn't cover, we cover 100%. No copay. Now, if they retire at 52 years old or 55 years old, for 10 years, we pay 100% of the full premium. This is why our healthcare costs are so high. These costs are out of whack. I mean, they're excessive. You know, there's something I looked at in the city financial documents called net position. I just want to read this to you because I just want to show you, prove to you that this hasn't happened overnight. So the auditors say that net position may serve over time as a useful indicator of a government's financial health. They go on to state that over time, increases or decreases in the city's net position are indications of whether its financial health is improving or deteriorating. If you look at that over the years, over the last 10 years or so, our net position is minus $559 million. Net position is basically assets minus, you know, liabilities minus your assets. So we're negative $559 million in the hole. And then the reason this is important, because, you know, we're talking about we want to be able to fund schools and things like that. And, you know, we look at East Providence's net position is minus $61 million. We're almost 10 times worse than them. That's why they could build a school. What we need to start talking about, this buzzword, it's called shared sacrifice. Shared sacrifice means if we want to build schools, if we want to buy police vehicles or anything else that we want to do in the city, everybody has to start chipping in. Not only just the taxpayers, it's got to be the active employees, it's got to be the retirees. I looked at the city budget and the school budget, and I looked at the total amount we spend in a year between both budgets on benefits. This is active and retired. It's about $98 million. It's $100 million between the city and schools. Think about for a second, and this isn't going to be easy because now you're talking about, you guys don't collective bargain. I know that, but you do ratify contracts. If you save 10% of that $100 million, you could build one high school without raising a dime in taxes. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about, shared sacrifice. You can't only put this burden. This thing is a common sense resolution because it's just starting the dialogue. I don't totally agree with, you know, promises were made and promises have to be kept, because promises were made where we didn't go out and figure out how much it cost. You know, we gave, you know, Mayor Avedisian 10 years ago put a $600 cap on prescription drugs. There was no actuary report. Nobody went out to the how much is this going to cost us to do? So when we talk about, well, you know, we have to continue to make these payments, we can't afford it. If you look at your OPEB liability, we pay 11, 12 million a year. You know what we're supposed to be paying? 35. We need to be putting $23 million more in taxes every single year into a fund. How the heck are we going to do that? We can only raise maximum taxes 8 or 9 million. We don't even know if we can afford schools. We surely can't afford to be putting $23 million more. That's why this dialogue needs to start. And like I said, it's not going to be easy. There's only one contract in the history of this city that was not ratified. I think Councilwoman Travis was on the council when I was there. It was the crossing guards in 2007. You know why it wasn't ratified? Because the contract had crossing guards who work an hour a day get lifetime health care and family plan health care. And you know what we said at the time? We can't afford this anymore. So we got to start, you know, talking about the shared sacrifice. What can we afford and what can't we afford? And it's not going to be easy. And if the administration comes in with a contract that doesn't make these fundamental changes, don't ratify it. Send it back. Put a line in the sand and say, we want to be able to build schools. We want to be able to afford, you know, vehicles, garbage trucks. We want to be able to repair our roads. We want to be able to make sure that the pipes aren't breaking and water spewing all over the place. How are we going to do that? Can't all be on the taxpayers. Has to be a shared sacrifice. And if you just go after the extreme benefits, I'm not talking about the everyday benefits. You know, police and fire should have good benefits. They have a dangerous job. They should have benefits that are above what an average citizen gets because they have a dangerous job. The fact is, we shouldn't be paying people $175,000 a year pension 20 years from now because they get a 3% compounded COLA. We shouldn't be putting these caps on prescription drugs that are costing us $4 million. Those are the extremes. Get out the extremes and you could easily save $10 million a year. One last thing.
the Evergreen contract legislation, that's going, I think, to the Supreme Court. Warwick never joined that suit. I think you should. I don't know why Mayor Solomon didn't do that, but I think the city of Warwick, Cranston joined, and a lot of municipalities joined. You should find out tomorrow how can Warwick join to get that law overthrown. It's sad that our former councilwoman, Vella Wilkinson, was the person that led the charge to pass that, and she just tied the hands behind the administration's back and the school committee's back, because you can't make changes to these things right now. That's why it's going to be so hard to do this. But one thing that I would say is join the forces and try to get that repealed. At least then you would have a fighting chance. Thank you.
Mr. President, may I request a five-minute recess? Chairman?
So I move to put this to the floor without any amendments and whatnot. That way the full council has time to look at everything with all the proposed changes laid out. Aye.
Thank you.
Understand you here.
So I
asked for a five-minute recess, so I assume that was denied.
So what happened was it was moved to the floor with no recommendation so that all these proposed edits could be looked at in tandem and decided upon. So basically, it's at the full floor.
You just moved it to the floor.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, fair enough. Now, can I request a five-minute recess? Mr. Chairman?
Number two on the agenda is PCR 33-22, a resolution requesting the General Assembly enact legislation delaying the City of Warwick's second statistical update following the 2015 revaluation from 2021 to 2022 and to be based on valuations as of December 31st, 2022. Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a very important topic that we have before us this evening on revaluation. We have Neil is going to get into the details for us, but this is new times. COVID has hit. It is a whole new world. Every 3 years, we're supposed to do a revaluation. As we've all seen, housing prices are at all-time high. I know in Greenwood, where I live, there is homes that are selling for $400,000 right now. And a few years ago, they were around $250,000, $300,000. I mean, that is a huge increase. So what the administration is asking, and I'm a sponsor of, is that we ask the General Assembly to delay this reval. Now, this is not unique to Warwick, Rhode Island. This is an issue facing communities in Rhode Island and across the country. There are four other communities at this time that are doing similar, we're going to make the similar request to the General Assembly. Johnston, East Providence, and Lincoln. Jamestown is looking to consider it at a future council meeting as well. So this is not a unique to Warwick, Rhode Island situation where the housing prices are really high. In the state of Connecticut, in their General Assembly, they have a bill that they're working on right now that it will allow every city and town in Connecticut the option to delay the reval for up to 2 years. So that is still going through the state legislature in Connecticut. So I think it's important to frame this, that this is not just a Warwick, Rhode Island issue. However, we are here on the Warwick City Council, so that's why we are talking about Warwick this evening. So the way our charter is set up, we cannot just say we're not going to do the reval. We need to send it forward to the General Assembly for them to take a vote on that. And that is what we were asking for this evening. So I just wanted to frame that there is other cities and towns that are going around the same route here in Rhode Island and across the country, including our neighbor in Connecticut. So, Mr. Chairman, I thank you. I will pause for there. And I do believe that the director can speak to this topic as well.
There we go. Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, members of the council, we started the reevaluation process well over a year ago. And at that time, we knew it was going to be a challenging one. We knew that the market was going to have very wide shifts in the tax burden from one class and even within the classes. But what we didn't know at the time is how limited the market activity was going to be. I've got over 35 years experience conducting reevaluations in several different states, over 50 different projects. This is by far the worst unstable real estate market that I've ever seen. That includes market crashes like 2008, when the market dropped 40% overnight, when the stock market crashed. The reason for that, in a typical year, on a typical day in Warwick, we've had 250 to 300 houses for sale on the market. In this year, when I left the office today, as a matter of fact, we had 61 houses for sale. So about 20% of what we typically have. At the same time, the demand rose incredibly, right? So we got people moving out of other states, people working from home. Warwick's a desirable place to live. It's an affordable place to live. To somebody coming from Boston or New York, parts of Connecticut, these prices seem low. So we've got a case where we don't have balance between supply and demand. Those are necessary components of a stable real estate market. On the commercial side, we had businesses that weren't allowed to open because of COVID. We had businesses that actually increased because of COVID. Because of the low availability of housing to buy, a lot of people that wanted to stay in the city had to rent. You currently cannot find a vacant apartment to rent at a realistic price. Those type of things force the values to go up for the apartment owners. So it's not just the residential thing. We also saw the same thing with self-storage. Again, COVID-related impact. So we don't have a stable market on the commercial side. We don't have a stable market on the residential side. So as an appraiser, I'm also a certified general appraiser in addition to being a tax assessor. When we do appraisals, supply and balance have to be in sync for that value that we come up with to be something we expect to carry forward. So I don't feel it's prudent to recommend we implement values that we know are not stable, and it's doubtful that they're going to continue over the three-year period that we'd have to hold them for. The last time we saw gas prices in the $4 per gallon range was 2008. As we already talked about, the stock market crashed, the real estate market crashed. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying the signs are there, and there's a lot of things that could impact by themselves the real estate market. And we've got several different things right now with the global war going on and other factors. So my recommendation is for favorable action to pass this resolution. Thank you.
Any questions from the committee? Counselor
Ricks. Thank you. I try to listen to the experts. Tax assessor Neil Dupuy is about as excellent an expert as we could have. I fully agree with his opinion on this, and I would request be added as a co-sponsor.
Any other questions? Any questions or comments from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Favorable action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I'm going to again request a 5-minute recess, and I'm going to refer to Rule 23. Rule 23 says the following motions shall be undebatable. Item 3 is take a recess. Mr. President?
Yep, the committee is over, so I will take a 5-minute recess.
Thank you.
It is 8:46, and the Intergovernmental Committee adjourns.
Good evening, everyone. We are back from our recess. So just for everybody to be up to date on where we are on the agenda, we have done roll call, we have done the salute to the flag, we have done general communications, we've done executive communications, we've done the acceptance of the minutes, we have done public comment. We are now on number one, the consent calendar. So first item is PCR 34-22, resolution relative to bids, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Lattiser. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2022-284, water tank rehabilitation. Bid 2022-285, Warwick Police Department renovation analysis. Bid 2022-373, window server operator systems licenses. Bid 2022-080, workstation laptop, tablets, printers, copiers, computer peripherals. Bid 2022-374, SolarWinds additional polling engine. Bid 2021-240, Charlie, City of Warwick, gasoline, low-sulfur diesel, ultra-low-sulfur diesel fuel. Bid 2023-011, reaccreditation services. Bid 2023-015, police advertising for licensing. Bid 2022-369, at-scene traffic crash, traffic homicide investigations. Bid 2022-368, crisis negotiator conference. Bid 2022-152, repair parts for snowplows. Bid 2022-270 Delta, original equipment manufacturers parts for various vehicles. That concludes the bid package, Mr. President.
Thank you, Chairman Howe. Are there any questions on the bid package that were not asked earlier this evening in the Finance Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, consent passes.
Thank you. The consent calendar passes. Next up, we are now moving to unfinished business. Number one this evening is PCR 28-22, which is now 2022-336, repairs to Rescue 2, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Gephardt, Councilwoman Travis. Go ahead, Councilman.
The committee voted favorable action this item, Mr. President.
Okay, and that's the motion, and it's been seconded. Any questions? Councilman Lattiser.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. As I said in the committee meeting, I will be voting no on this item. It's not any reflection on the fire department or the city council. I need to stand firm on my position that we are entitled to getting that documentation for the hours and the hourly rate, and both the insurance company and the vendor obviously apparently have provided to provide us with that. So I will be voting no for those reasons. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Lattiser. Any other questions or comments from the council? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
7 yes, 1 no.
Thank you. The motion passes. We're now moving on to new business. First up is PCR 12-22, committee report, intergovernmental.
We moved it to the floor, Mr. President, without a recommendation.
Okay. As the sponsor, Councilman Lattiser, do you have a motion?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. I will propose three amendments.
We're going to have you make a motion to favorable first.
Okay.
We'll get
sorry.
A second, then we'll.
I make a motion for favorable action on PCR 12-22.
Thank you. Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Rex. And now Councilman Lattiser.
Okay. In discussing this with our council solicitor, I will have him read into the record several amendments that I made or that I would like to make.
Thank you, members of the council. Councilman Lattiser moves an amendment in three parts as follows. On line 27, at the end, following the word benefit, inserting the word plan. On line 30, deleting the words or for new hires to either eliminate eligibility entirely or requiring co-share contributions towards health care coverage upon retirement. And then inserting in its place the words and/or, comma, for new hires, comma, when they retire, comma, to pay for up to 100% in co-share for their health care coverage. And the final portion of the Lattiser amendment is on line 43, following the finance director, comma, inserting the words, all department directors, comma, all bargaining group representatives, comma.
Thank you. So the word plan, that's pretty easy. The last change with notification is pretty easy. And the middle change, which is to clarify, there was no intent ever to eliminate healthcare for new hires. It is establishing a goal in the negotiating process between the bargaining groups and the administration, a recommendation from us to establish a goal to negotiate up to 100% of the healthcare costs for retirees. It's not saying, I'm sorry, for new hires when they retire. This is strictly new hires. And it's not to say that this is a demand. It's, again, a suggested plan to reduce these costs of healthcare. And with that said, I would move favorable action as amended.
Is there a second on the amendment? Second by Councilman Ricks. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action on the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes to amend.
Okay, the amendment passes. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you. I'd move favorable action on PCR 12-22 as amended.
Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Ricks. Any questions on the amendment or this favorable action as amended? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action as amended.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, favorable as amended.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. The motion passes. Next up this evening is PCR 32-22, Committee Report Finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Move favorable action on PCR 32-22.
Second by Councilman Ricks and Councilman Howe. Any questions on PCR 32-22 that were asked during committee earlier this evening? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes.
Thank you.
Yes, the motion passes. Next up this evening is number three, which is PCR 33-22, Committee Report Intergovernmental.
Favorable action, Mr. President.
For action, Councilwoman Travis, can you move that for me, please?
I move favorable action on PCR 33-22.
Second by Councilman Howe, Councilman McElroy, Councilman Gebhardt. Any questions on PCR 33-22 that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Yes, motion passes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Next up, if you're following on the agenda, we have already done the three items for unanimous consent. We have already addressed those. So we are now... in unanimous consent. Ward 2, anything to docket under unanimous consent?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8?
Pass.
Ward 9?
Pass.
Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor move the docket session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, hearing none, we are in the docket session. Ward 2, anything to docket this evening?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
I have one, Mr. President. I'd like to remove no parking signs on Allard Street.
We're going to put that in ordinance. Anything else, Ward 4?
No.
Okay. Ward 5, anything to document?
Yes, Mr. President. I have a resolution, and the title is the City Council Budget and Forecasting Oversight Committee.
Intergovernmental. Anything else, Ward 5?
No, all set.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7, I have one to docket. It's a resolution. Resolution regarding ward line boundaries. Okay, so that'll come out of the ward redistricting committee. And that's all I have from 7. Ward 8, anything to docket? Ward 9. Aye. There is no more business before the City Council. Everybody have a good evening.
Oh, yeah, I know, but I mean, what they went in, they didn't change it.